even though we're offering this Mass in honor of our sister Lil, whose remains are here before us, we didn't choose the readings for a funeral Mass or for a Mass for the dead. We're simply reflecting on the readings of the day. As it turns out, however, the first reading is quite a consoling one when we reflect on the mystery of death. The first reading is a continuation of the section in the letter to the Hebrews about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And it says that the old covenant priests, so they would make their offerings, their sacrifices day after day, and it never took away any sins. But Jesus Christ comes along and he offers one sacrifice for sins, and that's enough to take away all sins. Their sins and their evil doing I will remember no more. Where there's forgiveness of these, there's no longer offering for sin. The reason why I think this is consoling when someone has passed away is that anyone who dies is a sinner. Lil, of course, very good woman, but she was also a sinner. And we are grateful that God takes away sins by the power of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that sacrifice is what is made present at every Mass. So when someone dies, that's why you offer Masses for the dead, because the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which takes away all sin, is applied to the situation of those who passed away. Well, every Mass is for all the living and the dead, but we are focused right now on our sister whom we have just lost. Okay, so that's just a little reflection on the first reading, but I'd like to focus more this morning on the gospel, this great parable of the sower. You might remember that on Sunday, we celebrated the National Bible Sunday, or the Sunday of the Word of God. It was the church, another of the church's attempts to help us appreciate the great gift of the Word of God, a gift that is sometimes neglected. You probably know the stereotype that Protestants have the scriptures and Catholics have the sacraments. Well, the Protestants have the Word of God and they have great preaching on the Word, but they don't have the sacraments, so they don't think that much about it. But the Catholics have very rich liturgical life and sacraments, especially the Eucharist, and they have processions and devotions, but they never read the Bible. that's not exactly true, of course, but it's a stereotype with a grain of truth. So the Church, well, in our lifetime, certainly since the Council, has made a lot of efforts to make it clear that the Word of God is not for others. The Word is at the very heart of the life of the Church. Our founder, Father Francis, had a great appreciation of this. He was always promoting, pondering the Word, but not just picking up a Bible and reading it, pondering the Word that the Church is pondering every day in the liturgy, as we're doing right now. These are the readings that the Church has been given for today, and we're reflecting on them. We cannot exhaust the greatness of the Word, the richness of the Word. And one of the most striking parables when it comes to the Word of God is this one about the sower. And I know you know this story. Everyone knows this parable of the sower. It's about seeds being scattered on four different kinds of soil and therefore producing different quantities. Well, actually, the first three don't bear any fruit at all. And the footpath, the rocky ground, and the thorny ground, they don't produce any fruit. Only the fourth type of soil, the rich soil, produces, but it produces a lot, 30, 60, and 100-fold. It's a very good instruction for us, because when we turn to the Word of God, I think we all have this tendency, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, we have this tendency to think that the Word should be different, that the Word should be very interesting or very striking to us or surprising or enriching or something, and that we don't have to change at all, that we're already in a good enough condition, and that God has to provide something for us. It's his fault if we don't get anything out of our reading of the Bible. This parable tells us, no, that's not at all the case. The word is already powerful, and it's given in abundance. And this sower is throwing seeds everywhere. Footpath, rocky ground, weeds. Nobody sows like that. Who would ever waste precious seeds? Well, this is not a parable about, this is not an instruction about how to plant. This is a parable about the Word of God. And God does scatter His Word everywhere in great abundance. It's a very fruitful word. Every one of those seeds has the potential to bear 30, 60, or 100 fold. So the problem is not with the seeds. And this is important for us to realize. When we reflect on the Word of God, when we sit down to pray or we read a reading, there's nothing wrong with the reading. There's nothing wrong with the scriptures. We might not understand it. We might have heard it 100 times and we're bored of it. We might misunderstand it, whatever. But there's nothing wrong with the seed. The obligation, it's clear from the parable, is on the part of the receiver. What kind of soil are we? Good soil bears much fruit. Bad soil doesn't bear any fruit. We are the soil. In this parable, we are the soil. Now, of the four kinds of soil, I think we can set aside the first and the fourth for right now. I don't think anyone who comes to Mass on a Wednesday morning is a footpath. Because if you're a footpath, you don't come, you don't listen. Or if you are a footpath, you're not listening to me right now. So I'm not going to talk about the footpath. And the good soil already is very receptive and fruitful. So I'm not going to mention that at length. If you want to get a good picture of the good soil, just think of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Very good soil, very fruitful receiver of the word. But most of us, most of the time, are in the middle categories. We're either rocky ground or thorny ground. In other words, we are receiving or are willing to receive the word, but there is interference in us that prevents the word from growing. So what's important for us as we ponder this parable is to try to identify, well, what is there in me that is getting in the way of the power of the word? What are these stones? Well, this could be applied to many things, but usually spiritual writers say that's an indication of hardness of heart, stubbornness, refusal to listen or refusal to change. Sometimes it's the result of hurts or anger or different passions that prevent us from freely going with the flow of the Word of God. And all of us have this. I can't tell you how many people have told me about bad things that they've experienced that are still troubling them now, and that still make them doubt the goodness of God. It's a very common experience. And things that might have happened years ago. You say, well, a priest yelled at me at, you know, after Mass one day. And so now when I see a priest, I shut him out. Well, that's a terrible thing that happened. But that's a long time ago. And if you're still allowing that stone to remain in your heart, well, then you're the one who has a problem now. I'm just using that as an example off the top of my head. But there are many, many experiences which make people hard or leave a kind of rigidity that prevents God's life from growing in us. The third kind of soil, the thorny ground, is probably even more relevant to most of us. This is the clutter that is in our lives. We live in an era of thorns. And not even saying it's our own fault. We just live in a very noisy, busy, cluttered period of human history. You can hardly get from your bedroom to this chapel without being inundated with text messages and things coming from the radio and people telling you the latest news and somebody on Facebook and somebody notifying you on Messenger and blah, blah, blah. And you can't even be awake for an hour without having something invade and some thorns come in and distract from what God is saying. So Jesus' description of this is, I'm applying it to modern times, but his own words are, those sown among thorns are people who hear the word, but worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, and the craving for other things intrude and choke the word. So worldly anxiety, that's epidemic nowadays. Everybody's anxious about everything. This pandemic is making everybody afraid of everything and of everybody. That's bad soil. If we live in anxiety, we're not receptive to the word. Lure of riches. We live in a materialistic age. Everybody wants to look better, be better, have more. Well, some of those desires are normal. But in modern times, they're exaggerated by the advertising and people comparing each other on social media and whatnot. And the craving for other things. Okay, that's a catch-all. Everything else that we try to fill ourselves with, whether it's information or it's food or it's physical pleasures or it's distractions or entertainment or whatever we're craving, drink, whatever, that's choking off the word. Now, the great thing is the soil, the condition of the soil is not fixed. It can change. A footpath can actually become good soil. Thorny ground, rocky ground, it can actually become good soil. We can become good soil. We can. And that's what God wants, and that's what he's doing. He's actually making us good soil as we listen to the word. So as we're sitting here pondering, he's in our hearts, moving stuff out of the way and giving us perspective on what we have allowed to choke the word, and he's giving us grace to be able to set those things aside or throw them out. The word has a lot of power even for the transformation of the soil. Even if we weren't ready to receive, the word has this effect on us. I'll just throw this out. I was out walking yesterday or 2 days ago over on our property. We have a pavilion there, and then there's a little driveway where we park the L300. There are plants growing on the top of the wall. I don't know if you've seen this. How do those plants get up there? That's a wall. It's all cement. I don't know how they got there, but seeds have this capacity to, if they can get a little bit of soil and a little bit of water, they'll start growing. So now if we let those keep growing there, they're going to destroy the wall eventually. You see this in old churches, in those old Spanish churches. There's always plants growing out of them. Where do those plants come from? Well, I don't know, birds, wind, I don't know. But if seeds get a place to start, they'll start. And if they keep growing, they'll make a way. No, I'm just throwing out images from nature. But what I'm trying to get at here is that the word has power. So if we give it even a little bit of space, it will help us give it more space. The soil can be transformed by the power of the word itself. We have to cooperate. No seed is being forced on us. It won't by itself remove stones and thorns, but with our cooperation, yes. Divine power is the greatest power because it's love. God is love. And there's nothing greater than the power of love at work in the heart. So let me conclude with that. I'll add one more point in honor of our sister, who was very thirsty for the word. I mean, she spent a lot of time praying. I don't know if you know her well, but a lot of time pondering the mysteries, welcoming the word, and it. She sometimes struggled, like all of us do, but she kept on striving to be good soil. Now that she has passed away, and she's going to be interred on Sunday, she's going to be planted, you could say, it reminds us that not only are we receivers of the word, but we ourselves are a word. We ourselves are communicating to others. And our responsibility is to be good soil, yes, but also to be good seeds for others, to plant in the hearts of others what is good. Love, patience, mercy, goodness, generosity, and everything that God wants to grow in us. He wants it not only to help us, but to help those who are in our lives. So as we receive, we also give. Gifted to give is the theme of this year, as you know. So with those thoughts, let us open our hearts to the power of the word, to the great gift of life that comes from God, is planted in us, changes us, and then through us reaches others.